Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Today is the day carbon tax on home heating fuels increases from €41 to €48.50. That's an increase of €7.50 per tonne. The tax is paid by the supplier but is usually passed on to the customer. Critics say it's another blow to householders already struggling with a cost of living crisis. But supporters say it'll only add a tiny fraction more to bills, and it's the very least we need to do to slow catastrophic climate change. In a moment, we'll hear from the Economic and Social Research Institute, which supports the measures. But first, let's speak to Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson. Piers Doherty, you say this is the wrong decision at the wrong time. Why?
Because we're in the middle of a cost of living crisis and people have seen their energy cost. Indeed, we've seen electricity and gas bills have over doubled in the last year. And what now the government has planned to do as of today, which has taken effect, is that both natural gas is increasing because of the additional tax the government are putting on, and home heating oil is increasing as well. So if you're filling your tank from today on, 900 litres in your tank, it's going to cost just under €20 more. And people might argue and saying, well, that's not a huge amount of money. But the reality is that for a lot of people, they're simply squeezed. They don't have that type of money. There's nothing left at the end of the day. And we can see that energy poverty has increased in the last year. It's at a peak and record-breaking high. We've seen that one in five homes are behind in their gas bills. That's 139,000 people in arrears, as was the end of December of last year. And there's huge pressure on individuals. So, you know, what we need to be doing is trying to reduce the cost of heating your home at this point in time. We need to be supporting the alternatives that are there, but we cannot be and we shouldn't be penalising households just to try and keep themselves warm during this period of time. And that is exactly what the government are trying to do in relation to this tax. If they genuinely believe that by increasing this tax they were going to move people on to the alternatives, then we have had the biggest experiment in relation to electricity prices and gas prices and home heating oil, because they have peaked significantly over the last year. And what we've seen isn't that people were able to, you know, just move to alternatives overnight. That didn't happen because a lot of people didn't have the resources, didn't have the money. Indeed, there's a backlog in relation to many of the alternatives that exist. What happened to a lot of households is they became poorer. And that is exactly what this measure is going to do.
But the government has given a number of energy credits to people. They've reduced VAT on bills. And they're also introducing these increases as we're coming into the summer rather than the winter, when people will be heating their homes less. Is this not the better time to be doing this?
Well, first of all, I don't think that, you know, increasing the price of home heating oil, and remember, I think that the government provided no support whatsoever for the third of homes that actually use home heating oil as their primary source of fuel. In places like my own county of Donegal, right down the west coast, two-thirds of households use home heating oil to heat their homes. And what the government has done during this cost of living crisis, during the time when home heating oil was peaking at levels that we've never seen before, or was they've actually increased tax year on year in relation to that type of fuel. I don't believe that is the approach that the government needs to be taking to make it actually more expensive to keep people warm in their homes. And as I said, like, the figures speak for themselves. You've got over nearly 140,000 people in arrears in relation to gas bills alone. You've got energy poverty has doubled over the last year in its peak and was reported at record breaking high of 40%. Wholesale prices in gas and electricity, they've fallen significantly, but none of that has been passed on to the customer. Yet what the government are doing today is increasing the price of gas by another nearly €17 per annum, and it's the wrong approach.
But do you accept that the government is doing this to meet its climate targets? Ireland has the highest emissions of greenhouse gases per head in all of the EU in the second quarter of last year. What would you be doing if you were in government to meet those targets?
Let me make this clear. See, for all the homes around me that use home heating oil, they're not going to stop using home heating oil just because the government put on another €20 tax on the fill of home heating oil. They can't afford air to water. They can't afford to redo their house. They, if they want to get the deep retrofit, and they're waiting for a couple of years for that to happen, what the government are deciding to do is to make those households poorer. Now, they may try and satisfy themselves and saying, well, we're doing this in relation to climate action. They are missing all their targets. The real heavy lifting is to make sure that the alternatives are there, to make sure that the type of retrofitting programme that we put forward, which shows that lower and middle income households are able to get more support in relation to actually dealing with retrofit, to make sure that more support is provided in terms of climate action. And those measures we've outlined time and time again in relation to our alternative budget. This week, when the Dáil resumes, we'll be bringing forward a motion in relation to energy costs, including calling for a cap on electricity prices, as has been done in Germany, Austria and many other countries right across Europe. But we'll also be looking for the government to bring forward a proper windfall tax, which we've been calling on the government to do since this time last year. The government's failing to do that in a meaningful way. And then when they decide to actually bring forward legislation, they're only going to tax the windfall from November of last year, which isn't where the peak happened at all. So we want them to do what other countries have done in terms of like the likes of Austria and France and Netherlands and Belgium, which is introduce an attack during the peak time in the summer and use that resource to help households to move away from dirty energy into environmentally friendly type sources of heating.
OK, stay with us, Piers Doherty, because I want to get the view of Dr. Meiran Lynch, energy economist at the ESRI, which supports the carbon tax. Meiran, Piers says the carbon tax disproportionately impacts the poor. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, that's true. We've known this for a long time. ESRI researchers have been doing research on carbon taxation since the 1980s. Every single piece of research we've done by myself and colleagues has found that carbon taxation does hit poorer households more as a proportion of their income versus more affluent households. And for that reason, every piece of research we've ever done has also considered how to use the carbon taxation revenues in a way to reverse that regressive effect. And it can be done quite simply and very effectively through the tax and welfare system. So a carbon tax on its own is regressive, but a carbon tax combined with other measures does reduce carbon emissions and it can leave the poorer households better off. And that is certainly the approach that we have examined in every single piece of research we've ever published on this topic.
But is Piers Doherty right that amid a cost of living crisis, this isn't the right time to do this?
So I think I actually agree with an awful lot of what I heard there. So, for example, the idea that households can't move to alternatives overnight, that is absolutely correct. There are little bits that we can do straight away in response to higher prices. And our research has found that households do respond in the short term to higher prices. So carbon taxes do reduce emission in the short term. But the key here is long-term investment. We need households to make investments such as solar panels, retrofitting, changing the type of car they drive. And the problem is, in order to expect people to make those long-run investments, we have to send a long-run signal. And that is the beauty of a carbon tax that is pre-announced in advance. It means that people know what to plan for in the future. And it means that they know now that if they invest in retrofitting, in solar panels, in heat pumps, in all of these things that will reduce their bills, that they're going to make that saving in the long run. The problem is that if we then start chopping and changing and undoing the carbon tax here and delaying it there, you immediately get rid of that long-run signal and you're taking certainty away from households. However, if you have that long-run certainty built in and you accompany it with the revenue recycling measures that I mentioned before, then you can make everybody better off and you can put in place the incentives to allow people to make the shift in the long run, which is what we need to be doing if we're in any way serious about meeting our climate targets.
But Meiran Lynch, are there any alternatives to carbon tax? Piers Doherty mentioned there things like a windfall tax. Could we shift how we're approaching this?
Yeah, so what I would say is that a carbon tax is a necessary but not a sufficient condition of climate policy. I simply cannot see any way to meet the incredibly stringent targets we have set ourselves without a carbon tax, but I don't for one minute think that a carbon tax on its own is enough. It needs to be accompanied by a broad package of measures, including revenue recycling measures, like I mentioned, but also things like windfall taxes for sure, and grants and subsidies in order to enable people to make switches. I don't disagree with any of that at all, but I don't think it's credible to say that we can meet the incredibly stringent targets we've set without a carbon tax, because we need it in order to encourage people to make shifts, not just in the short run. It's not just about what we'll all do tomorrow. It's about what we'll do the next time our boiler breaks. It's about what we'll do the next time we need a new car. It's about what we'll do the next time we're thinking about getting the house done up. These are the longer run measures we need to be thinking about. And the idea that people will take the climate friendly option in the absence of a carbon tax is just not credible.
Okay, well, you asked the government for a statement on this and they told us that revenues from carbon tax are used to protect the most vulnerable households against high energy costs. They've supported the fuel allowance scheme, the natural retrofitting programme, and they've been used to provide funding to support farmers to farm in a greener and more sustainable way. The final word, and a brief word to you, Piers Doherty, if you can. What's your reaction to that?
Look, the reality is for households today, if they're going to get home heating oil, they're going to have to pay more. It is absolutely crazy that we're putting up the price of home heating oil, the price of gas, when those prices in gas and electricity are double what they were from June 2021. It makes no sense whatsoever. It is ideological policy gone mad. It isn't going to achieve the type of transition that we need at this point in time, which needs to be a fair transition. What we need the government to do is do the heavy lifting. Of course, we can use taxes to move people away in terms of bad type of policies and behaviours. Of course, that has to, it can be done. And we've supported taxes in the past like that. But the alternatives have to not only exist, but they have to be affordable and readily available. That is the problem here, and that's the area where we need to make the heavy lifting, not penalising homes in terms of trying to keep their homes warm.
Okay, we have to leave it there. Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin finance spokesperson, and Dr. Miriam Lynch, energy economist at the ESRI. Thank you both. And after the break, we'll hear from Sudan.